How's it going, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome back to the live episode of The Big Thing with myself and John Rocha. And there's a lot to talk about, man. Civil War. It is the highest grossing weekend for an A24 movie, and it dethrones Kong and Godzilla. And yeah, as you would think with a movie like this, dividing audiences. I've never seen such a divided audience in my comment section about this movie. Either love this movie, hate this movie, think it has an agenda, think it has, that's the problem, is that it has no agenda. So we'll discuss. Beetlejuice 2. I'm excited for that movie. Well, one of the things I thought was going to happen was that Gina Davis was going to have a cameo. Not the case. She says she's not in it. And then she gives her reason as far as why she's not in it. Fallout. I watched episode one. I got thoughts. I got thoughts on Fallout. We'll talk about that. I don't know if John's watched yet, but we'll discuss. If. The trailer for that movie is the most anticipated movie for my 6.5-year-old. She cannot wait to see this movie. And the newest trailer just came out. The final trailer just came out. So we'll see. Rebecca Ferguson turned some heads when she made her comments about her co-star who was a turd on wheels. And she clarifies that. And the Spider-Man 4. Looks like we might have a shoot date for that. Maybe. Maybe not. So that and more, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff going on with WWE and whether it's the last Raw, SmackDown, all that, the fallout from WrestleMania. We'll discuss it, myself and John Rocha here today. So if you're brand new to the channel, you've never been here, make sure you subscribe. And this is the live episode. So what we do is after we go through all of our topics, we then take all the super chats. And so you guys can put those in there now. I already saw people already throwing them in there. You can do that. And then what we'll do is we'll read them all off until we get off the air. So there you go. So thanks for joining us here today. Once again, it's me. It's John Rocha. It's The Big Thing. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are fine. Let's do it. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to The Big Thing Show, myself and John Rocha. What's up, John? How was the weekend?
What's up, brother? Yeah, good weekend. Very busy. Lots to do, lots to see. I did see Fallout, so we'll have a fun discussion about that. But
caught up. How many did you watch?
Four. I've watched four episodes. Four? Okay. I'm trying to knock them out to maybe do something on the Geek Buddies later on this week. But yeah.
I saw the controversy. I don't remember where it came from, but about the... Was it Netflix or somebody talked about the dumping of everything at once? What did you see this?
Yeah, one of the writers for one of the show, I think Scott Pilgrim show, okay. He chimed in and said that he really hated it because now no one's talking about Scott Pilgrim came and went, whereas X-Men 97 is keeping the drama every week. It's some interesting conversation to have for sure. If you want to have it on the show, I'm down.
We should absolutely. That should be part of the conversation with Fallout, because I think it was a major error to dump this show all at once. Complete error. I think that the dump was great when it was just Netflix and that was the only game in town. It ain't the only game in town anymore.
Right.
And it absolutely takes away from the experience, but we'll talk about that a little bit.
For sure.
There's a lot, man. There's a lot going on. And I think I'm even starting with, so did you watch, what do you think about this is spoilers for people who watched Raw or didn't watch Raw and SmackDown, but how do you feel about them trying to push Solo?
Yeah, I almost tweeted this out and I said, this feels like NWO Black and Red and NWO Black and White. And I don't think it's going to work because as cool as Solo is, Solo ain't at the level of Roman. He ain't at the level of Rock. And it would take a long... And look, it took Roman years
to build
to get to the level of Rock. Yeah. It was not overnight. And Solo is cool, but they've never let him speak on the mic hardly ever.
He just kind of growls.
Right. And then you're bringing in a new guy who they all got to get to know again. I mean, for the first time. So it just doesn't make sense to me. And I think eventually it's not going to be as exciting and as thrilling. Plus, you can't escape the fact that The Rock's in his 50s, man. And how are you, he's not going to do this full time. So you can't really invest as a wrestling fan as strong as you would like. So I get why they're doing it, but I think the Bloodline should have just gone away for months. Should have just gone away, let other things take central stage and then bring it back and start the Civil War then. Because Now yeah. it seems like you're still hanging on, you know?
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, but I think that they, you got to keep them around because it eventually you let them cause havoc as much as you can. And then it gives you the opportunity to give Roman one last face push before he rides off into the sunset. And then, and then the Usos can return together and be, it allows you to do that. The problem with the Solo thing for me is this new guy is way more intriguing to me than Solo is.
Tama Tonga, yeah.
Way more intriguing. He seems more devastating. He seems, I'm like, let that guy talk. That guy should be the guy who's running shop. Solo doesn't have it on the mic. He's just, just kind of, and he's got one move. He just sticks his thumb in your throat, and that's all he does.
And it's a borrowed move from, you know, from his ancestors.
Right. Yeah. Which he's you know, scary enough, but sure. I don't know what running the whole thing, but I like what Paul Heyman's trying to do. God bless him. Just scared of everything. But I do think that it's necessary into the lead up. The other stuff is Cody Rhodes absolutely owning the role as champion.
Love it. Yeah. And I love that he's on social media addressing people, and going back and forth with people. I think that's great. As opposed to hate that James Gunn does it. I love that Cody Rhodes does it and talks to people and lets people know what they're doing. He's definitely going to be a fighting champion. Yep. And we're going to see. And you already see the Bloodline people. You already see the Roman Reigns lovers going after Cody. But you got to let it breathe for a little bit. And I think it's real important how they program his opponents going forward in order to really solidify his reign. And then build up to something when Reigns comes back. Are they going to tag team together?
Right.
Like, all kinds of questions down the road that you're going to have some fun with for sure. But I like how it's going so far.
Me too. My brother is a big Hulk Hogan guy. And he's like always liked the good guys when he was growing up. And some reason he's such a Cody hater. And he writes me about me and my friend. You see him put in super chats, Met Bull, and we're on this text thing together, and my brother's like, I hope you Cody crybabies are happy and all this stuff too. And I wrote back and I go, if your 6 year old self could see you, he'd be ashamed of you.
For shame.
And so anyway, other stuff, you know, Seth Rollins probably going to be taking a break, it looks like. Same thing with Becky, as you said last week.
You could see it coming.
Yeah, I love this Bron Breakker guy, dude. This guy runs at 300 miles an hour in the ring. I love it. That for much longer.
Dude, first time I saw him at NXT, I'm like, this guy is going to be a fucking star. You and I have watched wrestling for decades. You know when you see it. And this guy immediately, and I like the way they brought him up. Again, I like what they're doing with him more than I like what they're doing with Jade Cargill. They're actually showing, both of them are being shown as these indomitable beasts. But I feel like they're doing a way better job with Braun, because Braun, no offense, can actually fully wrestle a whole match without needing to be taken care of. And I think
you're going to be right about this. I hate that you're going to be right about this, but like, because I was the one that's kind of championing Jade, right? And I think
I love Jade.
I just think she's going to be like, but she's got, it's like, I find myself even, it's like, okay, here we go. Squash on what's her name? Chelsea again.
Yeah, Chelsea.
And then that move where she like does this thing where she, it's like, it's, I don't know. It makes me nervous. Yeah. I don't think she's going to be able to hang. Anyway, and other than that, I think so far what they've done since WrestleMania has been good. SmackDown and Raw were good. And we lead into it. I hate the stupid draft. The draft is the worst.
I agree.
Stupidest thing that company ever came up with, and they're continuing to do it again. It's a stupid move, but either way, they're going to do it soon, and that's it for the wrestling side. Well, hold on,
before we leave the wrestling,
yeah,
we got to talk about who punched you in the nose. What's that all about, brother? I mean, on the other side, what is it? Is that chocolate? Oh, I thought that was a bruise.
Oh no! I had shit. Yeah, today my little one was doing. I took my father's. Father-in-law's birthday is today.
I don't know how long we're gonna go before
somebody said it. But no, my father-in-law, it was a thing this morning. It was a whole thing this morning. Okay. My father-in-law's birthday
happy birthday to your father-in-law.
Yeah, my Maisie was making these cards, and she had to do the paint this morning. She had to do the paint the dinosaurs, and then and it's like stupid. Anyway. So there you go.
Small price for being a dad.
Yeah, that's it. But she's been incredible. Anyway, moving on, and let's get to the main story here. And that's the fact that Civil War really delivered here. And it wound up making $25.7 million opening weekend, knocking off Godzilla and Kong, which still came in at number two with 15.5. But Godzilla and Kong now worldwide has made $436 million. I think it pushed Warner Brothers over $1 billion already for the year.
Yeah, totally.
Easily. So Kung Fu Panda. Oh no, Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire number three, Kung Fu Panda, and then Dune at number five. So Civil War. We haven't really talked about it. What did you think of the movie?
Oh, I liked it a lot. I really enjoyed it, and I went in with high expectations, and I thoroughly enjoyed it from top to bottom. I had a couple of issues near the end of the movie with a couple of things they did with a couple of the characters and some needle drop issues with some of those songs that Garland chose to play at certain moments. But overall, I thought the film did an incredible job of being apolitical in the fact that it doesn't choose a side, as Garland said, but also it's very clearly an anti-war film. Like, it is saying both sides do stupid shit. Both sides are going to indulge their worser natures. If we don't get a handle on this, this could be our future. And it's fascinating to me, somebody who caught up with this California Texas thing, who gives a fuck? It's a fictional universe,
right? So
in their fictional universe that kind of has shades of stuff in our world, they are making Alex is making this commentary. And so for me, overall, I thought the film was excellent and totally worked.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I really did. And it's the problem is that where we are today as a society, people are going to get testy about things. I agree with you. It's completely apolitical. And someone said, you're telling me they don't take a side. Who do you think that Nick Offerman is playing? I said, any dictator that has held on to power too long and has been acting a fool. Yeah. And yeah, right. That's clearly Trump. It's like, it's not, it isn't. And he doesn't have anything even resembling. It just seems like someone who's tried to hold on to power for a bit. And the other thing that they do, they don't paint the other side as wonderful people. They full on murder people in the middle of certain raids and other things happening.
They march out three military guys and shoot them point blank in the head with sacks over their black sacks over their heads. That is brutal. Yeah. And the final shot is essentially Guantanamo Bay. So to me,
it's everything. It's everything. There's no one to me was painted well in that that film. Even and this is that I don't disagree with. Someone said, well, I don't really find myself rooting for anybody, and I can get it. I understand that. I understand that for sure. I think that there's some characters you think you're gonna be rooting for, but even certain choices they make, you're like, well, it's kind of selfish. And then But I will say, who's the older black guy
Stephen McKinley Henderson.
He was great. He's probably the most likable guy in the entire movie, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's on purpose because he's the older guy. He's from the different time, a different generation where we kind of had things a certain way. We accepted things a certain way all in mass. Nowadays, it's not quite that thing. So you see him being a part of this, and I think he's great, and seen him in a million things. He was in Dune, the first Dune. He was cut out of the second Dune, which Denis said was one of the most heartbreaking cuts he made in the Dune 2 film. So yeah, it's a really good actor, and he brings that grandfather energy, that pathos that you want to see in a film like this.
Yeah. I don't know what your comment section was like in your reviews, but it was, I've never seen such a split, fittingly enough, such a split comment section where that's like, you'd get a comment of how great the movie was, and the next comment would be how boring it was and how horrible it was and how much it took aside. And like, it was, I've never seen such a divide, and that's probably why it did as well as it did. Like 30 million people. I wonder if it'll continue on, what the drop will be like. Would it be a 50% drop? Would it be an 80% drop? Like, I'm curious.
Yeah, I think this is an opening weekend movie, and then it'll drop, because I think people are curious. The reviews have been, some people have been mixed, some people have been on point with their reviews, and so or liking it rather, and so we'll see how the reaction is. But I think the public is, I think they're hesitant to go and see a film like this like over and over again, or go see this at 100 and 200 million, because it's a little too close to home, man. And
it's not an easy watch.
We're an election year, and Trump's in trial today, so I think a lot of people have some feelings about it all. So
it'd be tough. So and then Kong and Godzilla had a nice showing again. We did very well for Warner Brothers has started out very well so far, as both Dune and Kong and Godzilla. They have a bunch of other movies that are coming out this year, but I think that if this weekend, let me see what could take out. I think Abigail's coming out. Is that the one? Yeah, I'm going to see. Going to see the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare tonight.
Oh, I'm going tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay, and then I see Abigail on Wednesday. Yeah. So those two movies will, you know, will give some competition to Civil War for sure.
Right.
The following week is Challengers, which I've missed every screening for that. I'm so bummed. but I really want to see that. I'll probably go to see opening weekend. So
you'll love it, man.
That's what I heard. And then May 3rd is when it all goes down, and that's what's starting with the Fall Guy. So.
Yeah. Fall Guy is what everyone's waiting for. That's the big, like, I think that's the big official kickoff to the summer movie season, even though Godzilla and Kong is like kind of soft to launch. Yeah. But I think it's Fall Guy that's really going to kick off the summer movie season.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm curious because that's May 3rd is Fall Guy, right?
Yeah.
You and I talked about CinemaCon.
Yeah.
And at the time when we talked about it, we said it looked like it was a little underwhelming. It seemed like pick back up a little bit more towards like the last half, right?
Yeah, you mean the panels themselves?
Yeah, like the news that came out of it. It seemed like because it seemed like nobody really cared at first.
When Jeff and I talked about it on the hot mic this past week, we did a whole recap on Friday about it. And Jeff said, like, yeah, to him, the Warner panel won because there was a lot of announcements coming out of the Warner panel. And then Disney had some announcements as well coming out of this thing. And so there was a lot here. There was a lot more than you thought. And yes, people are like, oh, 2025 is the year for sure. But 2024 is kind of starting out well box office wise. I mean, look at Kung Fu Panda 4. It's almost going to cross five. It's almost close to $500 million worldwide.
Yeah.
It's still opening in other markets. Oppenheimer is still opening in Japan. Just did like 7 million in Japan.
Right.
And
right,
so these markets are still opening up and American movies and people are going to see these films. So I think it's starting out well. And all this doom and gloom that came out of CinemaCon, I think was overdone by some people who are supposed to.
What was the doom and gloom?
Well, they were all like, oh, there's, you know, they didn't have a lot to announce. They didn't have a lot to show. Right. They haven't a lot of finished. But sometimes it's not about quantity. It's about quality. And if you pare it down a little bit and you got all these things you're looking forward to, I think people are still excited to see what's
going on. Yeah, that was it. That was for me. Was there excitement? And it seemed like there was some excitement that came out of it. Obviously, with the Deadpool stuff, which came out of it as well. And I think the one that stole a lot of headlines was the Mickey 17 stuff.
Yeah.
That stole a lot of headlines. So curious about it. What'd you guys think, you know, out of the stuff that we've talked about so far, whether it's Civil War, winning the box office, whether it's the controversy around it with people, you know, complaining about it, loving it, hating it, and the CinemaCon stuff. I see a lot of super chats coming in. Don't worry. The way it works is John and I go through all of our topics first, and then we get to yours, so we will get to them. Before we move on to our next topic, I do want to tell you guys about, well, first of all, we got Cuts back, and I'm so glad that Cuts is back. I was wearing Cuts when they first, they said, I hadn't heard about them, and then they sent us a bunch a while ago, and I wear this, you guys have seen me wear it on the air. I wear the kind of the black polo that I love, and it's very comfortable. And if you guys haven't already tried them, you should, because they're absolutely wonderful. So I'll tell you a little bit more about Cuts. Okay. So, and I've always told you guys that, you know, when you go and you check these things out, they're all things that I love. And I've talked about it many times over that I only have things on the show that I dig. So for you guys, most guys, I think, wear a t-shirt every day of their lives if they could. I mean, I know I would. The problem is that most shirts are not acceptable to wear. You can't wear them at work. You can't wear them out like on a date. Well, but today's sponsors, Cuts, they've changed it. Cuts t-shirts are high quality, wrinkle-free, and so buttery soft that you can look like you're dressing up even when you're dressing down. Yeah, wrinkle-free, and it's true. I've had these things. I love these things. I'm on the move. So when I'm like, oh, no, my shirt's going to be wrinkled. Nope. In a limited time, you can save money. You can refine the dress code. But you got to head on over to cutsclothing.com and use that code BIGTHING for 20% off. So go to cutsclothing.com and use that code BIGTHING. It's so good. They've changed the t-shirt game. It's tons of simple and they're sophisticated items. The bottom stretch, they fit joggers. They look way better than the khakis, and they're 1,000 times more comfortable. So for a limited time, again, our listeners will get 20% off of your entire order, but got to use that code BIGTHING at checkout. 20% off your order at cutsclothing.com. BIGTHING. Support our show and tell them that we sent you. Experience the perfect blend of style and comfort with Hutt's clothing. Also tell you about our buddies over at AG1.
All right, guys, let's talk about AG1. You guys know I love AG1. If you've been listening to my show, you've heard me talk about them, and I've been drinking them for about 2 years now, and I love it. Never been a vitamins guy. I've told you that. I take it all one shot, AG1. I put it in a water bottle. I shake it up. I'm good to go. I recommend AG1 to my friends. I recommend AG1 to my family, everybody. AG1 is a team of doctors and scientists. It is tested for 950 contaminants and NSF certified for sport. It is formulated based on the latest science and maintains high quality standards. You guys know they've been with us for a while because you guys know too. You've all been checking them out, and everybody who's been signing up to AG1 says the same thing. It's changed your energy. It's changed how you approach things in the day. You're smiling more. You're running around the place, and you're sleeping better. I know. AG1 is the supplement that I trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why they've been a partner for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and you get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/big thing. Drinkag1.com/big thing. Check it out.
All right. So once again, thank you to AG1 and Cuts. And like I always say, and you guys have been so great about it. You help out the show, you get yourself something wonderful. I always link the sponsors in the description. I always put it as a pinned comment. So every time you go on over there, you're helping out this show tremendously. And it's the reason why we've been able to be on the air for the last 2.5-3 years, which is crazy. Yeah, you know, John, now this show, we started this show. Well, I took over the channel. Was at one point, it was like the Big Things clips channel, and it was like a Schmodown clips channel and thing too, and it was, and then I, when I took it over, I just was putting a big thing on it, and I wasn't doing reviews and all that stuff, and I finally when I started to actually post like daily content on it, I think it was November of 2021. So the fact that we're, you know, a little over 2.5 years now, which is pretty crazy.
Time flies.
And we do, I mean, look, so, and that's the other thing, and before we move on, two things. We're both just trying to push our channels, and we're trying to do some stuff. You do. John's been working on his channel. I just did. I have the, my second channel, Down to Earth. We're about to get to 20,000 subscribers in that channel.
Nice.
We just started that channel, so that channel's growing really fast. We're about to get to 20. I'm hoping we can do that by the end of the month. But John, you got a lot of stuff you're doing on your channel. Tell us about it.
Oh yeah, the Outlaw Nation, man. Come on over, Outlaw Nation. It's YouTube.com/John Rocha Says. A lot of stuff going on there. Like I mentioned, the hot mic. We just dropped our most recent episode on Friday with me and Jeff talk about everything going on at CinemaCon. This past Sunday, yesterday, dropped a special episode of the Geek Buddies, which I do with my friend Michael Vogel and Shannon McLung. Michael's a showrunner in animation. He's been in those halls of studios working on Transformers, working on G.I. Joe, and Shannon is a writer for animation and also an actor. So the three of us have been doing that show for a few years now. And this past weekend, we talked about X-Men episode 97, episode 5, rather, of X-Men 97, which, of course, Bo DeMeo came out and spoke about, had a reaction to the Pulse nightclub. It was what he wrote in reaction. And having Michael, who is a member of the LGBTQ community, as part of the Geek Buddies, it was great to hear his point of view on all of it. So a lot of perspectives, a lot of different people. We got the Star Wars show, Jedi Way with Kevin Smets and the great Laura Kelly, which a lot of you love. And of course, my other shows that I have on there with me just doing reactions and having people show up as guests and doing reviews. A lot of stuff going on there on the Outlaw Nation channel. So come on over, people. Come on over. Get us to 50,000. I would really appreciate that before the end of the year. Yeah,
please do. And you'll see a lot of great reviews. You will see on his channel what you won't see on my channel. And that's Shogun.
Yes, we do Shogun reviews every Tuesday. Yes,
yeah, those are doing well for you. So that's thank you, brother. But the other show that just came out that everybody's talking about is this Fallout show. I did watch episode one, and so Fallout the game is soaring post the TV launch. Now Amazon launched their Fallout TV series to critical success and much hype last week, and looks as though the show is already having a wider impact on the part of the franchise that birthed it. SteamDB indicates that a number of games in the Fallout series have seen a large increase in concurrent players Counts on Steam following its release with some more than tripling their usual numbers. Fallout 4 has seen the biggest leap, going from weekend peaks of around 20,000, 24,000 for the 6 months to 83,000 on Sunday alone. Fallout 76 also saw a large jump in numbers, jumping from 13,000 players to almost 40,000 on Sunday, breaking its all-time peak concurrent player count. So the TV series is expected to proceed with a second season, with production moving from New York and Utah to California as part of a tax incentive. Okay. All right. So I watched episode one.
Yeah.
And I like it so far. I didn't know anything about the world. I wish I had a camera on my house during this, though, because I said to my wife, I go, "Hey, you want to watch this show, this Fallout show?" She's like, "What is it?" And I go, it's a show that's on, it's on Amazon Prime. It's getting a lot of buzz." And she's like, what is it?" I go, "I don't really know." And so we start watching it, and at first she was like, "She's like, oh, this is kind of crazy." And then it gets intense, and then there's a scene with, I'll just say, with the grave.
Yes, yeah. And
she's like, "I'm out." She's like, "This is what this is." She's like, "This is too. I'm out." And she bailed on it. But I was like, "No, I gotta finish it." And it's definitely more so for me than it is for her. I liked what I saw so far. I think it's pretty good. And Walton Goggins is the best.
Yeah, it's great to see him. You know, Michael Chiklis tweeted about him, how much he's happy to see Walt getting the love and respect that he's known since The Shield, of course. Yep. And a lot of us, like you and I, Christian, we've seen him in a million things and just been waiting for that moment. And it seems like this moment is here. And Ella Purnell, I think, is fantastic as a leader of the show as well. Really enjoying her as a new actress coming in. I haven't seen her in much. People saying Arcane and other things, but like, I was just blown away by how well they built out this world and how interesting they made it. And, you know, we're in a golden age of video game adaptations now, Christian, with Sonic, with Last of Us, with this. It's starting to build. And I was on my PS5 last night sorting through, because I'm having a big old sale there, and I had no idea how much their Fallout stuff has been discounted. So this is the right time to jump into that game if you want to play it and have some fun with it. And so I'm not surprised at all to see the game video game numbers jumping so high.
Yeah, and it's like any time when something's really popular, like their sales go up. Even when, you know, I remember, and the unfortunate stuff is like when artists like die.
Yeah, right?
You know, when the artists said their stuff skyrockets. But like, if there's a movie about somebody, like, I wonder like what the Bob Marley album sales were like in February, right? Like. So that stuff happens, and it can benefit, and it always benefits. The same thing. I wonder what Last of Us sales were like when that game was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of people were playing that game. And especially what's good, though, is we used to talk about this, dude, all of the time during the Collider era, during shows, like during the stuff. It's like, when is the video game era going to start? And it was like, it was just like that, you know, in sports terms, that team that just never could get out of last place.
Yeah,
we could.
Yeah,
so they're starting to get out of last place
big time,
because they've got a bunch of, whether it's Sonic or Last of Us or this, and the two things, this is the thing I always said this, and you can go back to this freaking comments back on Collider, those games will work much better as television series. Now, whether they're HBO, Amazon, Netflix, whatever it might be, because you have time to take that big long story that's told in a video game and you condense it into an hour-long episode or whatever it is, but you're at least getting 8, 10, 12 episodes as opposed to a 2.5-hour movie where you got to change everything.
Yeah. No, and you were right on that, because the thing is, I think you can't separate the success of this stuff now from how much more cinematic these games have become, how much more layered and nuanced their storytelling has become, because they've gotten Hollywood screenwriters. They've gotten accomplished screenwriters to come in and write a lot of the story within these video games. And so that's the thing that makes it easier to adapt. And because there's so much dense material, trying to think you can do a 2-hour movie out of it, or an hour and 45 minutes, which is usually the video game adaptations, you're way off. Like Warcraft, World of Warcraft was not a good movie.
Yeah,
if you turn that into a TV series, that could have been super interesting. So you're 100% right. That's the way to go, because these are so much more dense than they used to be. Whereas Sonic is a fun adventure game and has stuff, or Mario, those are fun to see in the movie theater because they're not really tied to a larger lore and massive mythology. There's much less going on there than there are in these other games. So yeah, this is the success that we're seeing now. And they're getting good creators. That's another part of this. Good creators who love this stuff to go on and work on it and make it happen.
You know? Yeah, it's true. And I think that even if you look at some of these, well, books too, I think that this shoot, a lot of these books, that's why I anytime I get a chance to take a little subtle jab into Lucasfilm's belly, I will, because it's like the fact that you're looking for television shows and you've got all of these wonderful novels and authors that have put their heart, sweat, blood, and tears into these novels, and you have such great stories that you could adapt these books and have really well-written, good stories over the course of like 8 to 10 episodes. Instead, you're coming up with these cockamamie stories that seem like they're written by 7-year-olds. So that could be something that you could, whether you do on look what they're doing with Harry Potter.
Yeah,
with Harry Potter, these are very popular movies and some of the best movies. And Percy Jackson is another example, right?
People like
you. You have more time to expand on what people fell in love with in the first place.
Yeah.
And even watching those Harry Potter movies as well as they were made, I remember watching those movies and going, oh, I remember they left that out of the book. Yeah, I guess they kind of had to. You don't have to do that in a TV show.
Yeah. And the person, from what I'm hearing from the people I know, is the person who's going to be showrunning that show is one of the head writers for Succession. And so if you're going with an adult Succession writer route, that's going to make it even more interesting. I'm always taken aback by these studios and these IP who just want to go and placate the younger kids. I get that you want to create contact with that. Of course, it's important. But kids are so much more older than they used to be nowadays, and they're exposed to more than they used to be.
More mature?
Yeah, more mature, because
they're older now.
Yeah, just age. They're emotionally more mature, right? And then because they have access to all this shit at their fingertips. Christian, we had to go sneak books off and try to, you know, nowadays kids have access to everything. So no matter what barriers you put up, they find their ways around it. So you got to create content that appeals to them and gets them interested and excited. And a more mature adult, a more adult approach, I think, is important for a lot of these IPs to wake up to, man.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I saw someone mention that, well, you know, but Halo didn't work. And I was like, it doesn't always work. And the other reason,
it must have worked to some level if a second season's out.
I do agree. This person said that it sucked. I only watched the first episode and I bailed on it because this is something that video game movies have done traditionally in the past, and Halo did it also. They're completely changing the game. It's not the game. It's just, you just happen to have Master Chief in it, and you've got the Covenant, and you have this, but it's not the story that you kind of fell in love with changes. Yeah. Like Last of Us was the story with some changes along the way. You know, like that, it's like, there's a reason why you fell in love with it in the first place. Don't change it. And they changed it. They did the lone cub and the wolf and the lone cub again. As I've seen it so many different times. I mean, from what I heard, season two got better and they stayed away from it, but I bailed after the first episode.
Right.
So,
exactly. No, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
But I wanted to go back to our conversation as we opened up the show with the binging versus the week to week, because at one point I feel like, and if someone said, well, you used to say that binging was better, you wanted to watch it all one shot, I very well might have said that. And I would go back and tell myself you were wrong. Because it is exactly what you said, and what the showrunner said was that you forget about it after. You can have a, like, Fallout, everybody's talking about it right now, but because it all dumped, it'll be forgotten in a month.
As opposed
to letting it air for 2 months straight and then getting to that fact, we're getting to the final episode and you're like, oh, here we go, this is the episode, and you, that lead up to it. That's, say what you want about the Star Wars shows, they're at least doing week to week. They're not dumping it all at one shot. And I think it allowed, because those shows came out all one time. I mean, look at Echo came in.
Within a week. And that's the problem. But it's why I think it's a case by case basis. I think you can't just go yes, all binge or no, all binge. Yeah. It's case by case basis. Look at Three Body Problem. Christian, everyone was looking forward to Three Body Problem. No one's talking about it anymore. It came out like a week ago.
They dumped it.
They dumped it. It was binged. But if you had done Three Body Problem every week, that would have been a super interesting conversation to have about some of the concepts that's presented within that show. I'm still not done with the show. I'm 7 episodes in. There's a lot in that show that you could really explore, do videos on. Mm-hmm. Would it be a lot of fun to have a conversation on? Same thing with Fallout. You know, this thing, boom, dumb. The fact that you're not taking that week to week, I just don't understand the logic. I mean, there's much more to be had with certain shows that have much more to them that makes sense to go week to week. Whereas the other stuff that doesn't, yeah, dump it, go in and out, you're good to go. You know,
we joke about it, but look at Shogun. Shogun's still in the conversation because it's been on the air for like 7 or 8 weeks.
No one would be talking about Shogun if it had dropped after 2 weeks. No one if it had dropped over.
Yeah, you would have watched all of it. And it's like, you know, there's, I mean, and look at Stranger Things, right? Stranger Things was that season of Stranger Things season 4 did something that a lot of shows can't do. And it made arguably a better season than its first season, right? And there's a lot of people that will go back and forth and say, one is the best, four is the best, one is the best, four is the best. That's hard to do unless you're like the, you know, I mean, the Breaking Bad or something like that. It's hard to do. Imagine if Breaking Bad would all dumped in one day, you know, and you watch it all in one day. It's like the selfishness of you, like, yeah, I want to see how it ends. But it's like you don't get that anticipation. You just don't get that as you're waiting for it. And Stranger Things, I feel like that season with Vecna could have, as much as people talked about that show, imagine if people would have talked about that show weekly. Now, that's the question I have for you when it comes to Netflix, because Netflix, you know, Amazon Prime, they've done weekly. So it's weird that they dumped it because they usually do weekly. So there was a weird move for them. They'll do weekly again. They'll go back to weekly for other shows. So that's not a thing. Netflix, though, has Netflix ever done weekly?
I can't think of them having done a weekly show. Oh, no, yes. Well, I mean, Great British Bake Off. That is every week.
That's scripted. Scripted.
That's script. Well, that's, oh, scripted. I don't think I can recall a show that has been done week to week that is scripted on Netflix. And maybe people in the chat can think of.
Yes, yeah, they're saying the same thing. They've split it into two. Like, Netflix split into two, like the He-Man split into two. It's like, now the question is, will they be stubborn? And I think if I'm Netflix, I'm like, okay, if I'm Sarandos and I'm going, okay, look, people bitch and moan about this shit all the time. Yeah. Right. Let's try one show. Let's try one show, one of our highly anticipated shows. Let's do it week to week and let's see. Does it become the water cooler conversation that we hope it to? Does it help us in the long run? Like, what's the benefit against the negative on it? You know, like, it's because they give everybody the opportunity to get it all. It's like, take your time and build it. It's like, because they have other shows they want to drop. I'm like, you can have your show in the zeitgeist. You can have your show in the, as the number one. I think you made a great point with like Three Body Problem, right? I'm still almost like four episodes into that thing, but it's like, the longer I take, here's the difference between me not watching Shogun and me not watching Three Body Problem right now. Yeah. With Shogun, my plan is to watch episodes on the actual channel. So I'll watch a few of them, release them on the channel. And I know the finale is coming up like this week. Is it this week?
Next week.
Right.
Episode 9. Yeah.
Next week. So I still, if I started putting out episodes, watching them in the next couple of days, I'll still be in the relevant zone for Shogun.
Yep.
I start doing episode drops for a Three Body Problem, I'm way behind I'm already 4 days past Fallout's prime.
Which
is crazy.
I see our friends late to the party putting up their reactions, and I don't think they're getting the same numbers than if it had been a week to week.
Right.
They're putting up their and Real Rejects does this too, right? They put up their reactions almost episode almost a day, but then you're pushing back all your programming. Yeah. You have to readjust for how you're planning that out. And so what if other big stuff breaks? Like, are you creating a space? So, and then people's interest starts to wane after a week. If they've already had time to watch it, they might not be interested to go back and watch you watching it, you know? And so that's a part of it as well as content creators. Yeah.
100%. And I think that, you know, Fallout, I think, especially when you get that buzz on it, it's weird that Amazon did it. Like Netflix, like, they do it all the time. They just don't listen to anybody. They're doing it all the time. And here they go again. And it's just like, old silly old Netflix. But the fact that Amazon did it when they don't normally do that, like sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I can't remember if Mr. and Mrs. Smith was all dumped. I feel like it was.
I think it was all dumped. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why Amazon's been doing that lately.
Yeah. Out of Range is all dumped at the same time.
Reacher wasn't, right? Reacher was week to week, wasn't it?
Reacher was. No, that was dumped all at the same time.
Maybe Amazon has been doing it more so now. Apple's always week to week.
Apple's always week to week.
Yeah. Did you start watching that Colin Farrell show? The Apple one?
Yeah. No. You know what? Shannon texted me on yesterday, and he's like, "Dude, you need to start watching this show." And so, I'm gonna put that on my list to watch this week.
I'm gonna check it out. All right. So you guys, all this stuff, whether you're watching live, whether you're asking a question on Super Chat, whether you're watching it on the replay, put your comments in there, put your thoughts in there. What do you think about this conversation on the streaming stuff? I'm very curious to hear what you think.
Reacher and Invincible were week to week. Okay,
so they were. Okay, so Reacher was week to week.
Yeah, my bad. Okay. I get them all at once, so I sometimes forget with
Reacher. Oh, look at you.
No.
You missed a cool. All right. All right, let's go to Beetlejuice. It's the sequel. And Gina Davis, I could have sworn. I think we even talked about it on this show. I could have sworn that Davis was going to do a cameo. Alec Baldwin, obviously not. But she's not. Tim Burton unleashes Beetlejuice later this year, which sees many of the cast members returning from the 88 film. Now, there's some that aren't back. Sylvia Sidney passed away in 1999. Glenn Shaddix passed away in 2010. And Jeffrey Jones is out for obvious reasons. But what about the first film's lead, Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis? Both are very much alive and still acting. And with de-aging effects, this could be possible. Sadly, Davis tells Entertainment Tonight she's not in the film and understands why. She says, no, I'm not in it. I'm not in the remake. Oh, you were expecting that I would be? Yeah, no, you know what? Because my theory is that ghosts don't age. Not that I have. Our characters were stuck the way that they looked when they died forever. So it's been a while. It's been a minute. Indeed, those involved in the film's making have made a point of pride that the project utilizes as many practical effects as possible with very little in the way of digital trickery. Michael Keaton is back as a ghost too. However, due to the amount of makeup slathered on his face and his aged up appearance in the original, he doesn't look that different. Davis appeared in the original as Barbara Maitland, the ghost who is seen by Winona Ryder character Lydia Dietz. She adds that she heard the trailer came out but hasn't seen it yet. So Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, Justin Theroux, Monica Bellucci, Willem Dafoe also star in Beetlejuice, which hits the cinemas on September 6th. This sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks. I think I get it, but maybe it's because of exactly what they said. Yeah, you could have done de-aging, but what you have seen, like, if I'm Tim Burton, I'm like, look, I really want to make a movie like I used to make it. I want to make it with practical effects. And what I don't want to do is make this movie and then everyone is talking about is, well, what did you think about that de-aging of Gina Davis scene? You know, like that, I understand that. I get that. I would have liked to seen her pop up or even her voice or something pop up. And in the same way they kind of did, I thought the Harold Ramis stuff in Ghostbusters, the Afterlife was awesome.
Yeah.
But something else, I mean, you knew that Alec Baldwin wasn't going to be in it, but Gina Davis not being in it is a bummer, but I get it.
Yeah, I don't think people would have been upset about her showing up and being an older ghost. I mean, maybe some angry people would have made YouTube videos of like, ghosts don't age, but who gives a shit? It's Gina Davis. And I don't think anybody would have cared if you de-aged her for one scene and had some fun with it. It was a cameo. You can tell a strong enough story, you can get away with a de-aging moment with Gina Davis. So it's a shame because I loved her and I love her in the show. In the film. I think it would have been fun to have her. So it's kind of a bummer that she's not like working in the office with like that the upper level office, which is where I imagine she would be by this point as a ghost, you know, because they showed there was a bureaucracy there involved with ghost stuff. It would have been fun to see her like as vice president up there or president or some shit. That would be a lot of fun, but sadly, apparently we're not, unless she's doing the Joaquin thing where it's like, I haven't been approached about Joker. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not in it. And then she pops up as a cameo. I don't know.
Well, same thing with Liam Neeson, right? Liam Neeson did the same
thing. Yeah, no, I'm not going to be Qui-Gon. No way.
Right. And we did a whole title of a video said, Liam Neeson is a liar. Full on liar. There's no way he's not going to be in it. It could have been in it a lot better than they did going back to that writing.
Yeah, true.
I sold a whole bunch. Obviously, for people who don't know, we're doing the move here soon. I'm moving to New York, and we put that Amazon list up, by the way, and people that wish list. So thank you to people for the studio list to coming up with that idea. I'm selling a lot of those Star Wars books that I got, like a ton of them. And I got a question from a guy was like, hey, are you just not into the franchise as much anymore? And I said, honestly, no, I'm just not.
You want to have this conversation?
Yeah, I can have it. It's like, you were the guy that used to talk about it all the time. And I'm like, yeah, but like, I'm still like, as I mentioned to you, I said this to you on text, and I've said it a few different times over on the air, but you'll appreciate it again. You remember when Steve Sachs played for the Yankees back in like 88, 89, the Yankees were bad. They were terrible. and people were leaving in the fifth inning. That's where Star Wars is right now. People are leaving in the fifth inning. And it's like, you know, am I going to still watch the games? Yeah, I still watch the games back then. But do I hope that we get a better coach? Do I hope that we get a better pitcher? Do I hope that we start hitting some home runs? Yeah, I do. But like, the franchise is in terrible shape right now.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And like, the more stuff that I watch, like, and what I saw somebody talking about this recently, and there's critics. It's funny. It's like, they were saying, is there a movie? And I can't remember what it was. I think it was something that Christine Lemire posted, but it's like, is there a movie that you saw the first time, or a TV show you watched the first time, that you then went back and said it was either better or worse? And the critics are like, yeah, it happens to me all the time. It happens to every critic all the time. But mm-hmm. if you do it with Star Wars, and then people lose their minds. But like, there's a couple things, like Ahsoka. Like, I don't think I can go back and watch Ahsoka anymore, because the writing is really bad in that show. It's like atrociously bad in that show.
Yeah, I'm not. You're not wrong. I do not go back and watch much of the Star Wars content beyond Andor or Rogue One, Force Awakens every once in a while, some of Last Jedi, and Mandalorian stuff. And I agree. I don't. But it's, to me, it's been a combo, right? It's a combo of them delivering some disappointing overall shows and movies,
right,
and people making a whole cottage industry over getting upset about Star Wars, and, you know, taking advantage of the anger and stoking the anger over and over and over again. And so it's a combo of both. And I think that, and then people caught in the middle, and there's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's all just too much. It's getting to be too much. Even the Rey movies already, like, people are like, oh, it's never happening. It's trash. It's not. And so there's nothing they can do at this point that's going to satisfy people. No, so,
I don't know if that's true content,
I guess, is the only thing they can
do. Look, because Dune satisfied people. And someone said, someone does this again. It goes back to the point where, like, you talk and people don't really listen to you. Didn't I just say that? Yeah, I'm still going to watch the games. I'm still going to watch it. Someone's like, well, because that's bad writing, you're not going to watch it. I didn't say that. I'm just not enjoying it as much because I'm paying. Like, there's some of the stuff that's just not very good on the writing of it, and it's also some of the acting is not wonderful, and some of the choices that are being made for the stories that are told, as I mentioned before. So it's just not, you know. But the other side of it is, what I'm not is when people are like, well, if you like it, well, then you're not a Star Wars fan. It's like, no, you like it good. I'm glad that this happens to be my favorite era of Star Wars. That's awesome. In the same way that, like, if we're talking about wrestling. Mm-hmm. That when we're talking about wrestling, that some people think, well, this era of wrestling is actually terrible. Okay, yeah. I agree to disagree. I'm enjoying it. I thought 4 years ago was terrible.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be difference of opinion when it comes to this stuff. But I just, as far as when this person asked me, because then we do the one-on-one Patreon things that I do. And another guy was like, you know, telling me, like, aren't you excited about Acolyte? I said, I am curious about Acolyte,
yeah,
but I'm now to the point where getting excited about these shows doesn't do me any good, because it comes from leadership, man. It comes from leadership, and it comes from them trying to, well, maybe this one would be the one that people like. It's like, put together a freaking plan.
Yeah,
it's, yeah. So anyway,
I can't believe we're still saying this.
I know.
All these years later, put together a freaking plan, because that was obviously the problem with the sequel trilogy. And look, I think it's good to have healthy discourse and have healthy disagreement about certain. Listen, you'll never convince me that the prequel trilogy is a good trilogy. Never convince me. And I know people love those films, and I respect that. But by the same token, I respect you loving those prequel trilogy films and respect me not liking them. It doesn't make me any less of a Star Wars fan, and it doesn't make you any more of a Star Wars fan. Isn't the Civil War film about that? How both sides take it to the extreme and do terrible stuff. And the truth is, in the middle is where we all need to be, with healthy, open discourse, where we don't walk away hating the other person because they didn't agree with us. And it's so, or being called a shill, which I think is like one of the most
it's like that scene in 8 Mile, you know, it's like at the end when Eminem knows what he's gonna say. It's like, for me, it's like, okay, what are you gonna say? You're gonna pull up a Galaxy's Edge thing, go ahead, throw it in there. You're gonna throw go ahead, throw it in there. What else? You're gonna throw in something about my brother. Okay, go ahead, go in there. You throw in, what else you got? It's like,
what do you got?
What do you got? It's like, okay, well, that's new. That's fresh. Yeah. Go ahead, that's a new one. So anyway,
I just got one. Look, Roka doesn't know Star Wars. There you go. There's another troll who says shit. They all say that shit.
Right.
And I've been talking about Star Wars for 40 what? Fucking years. And Christian's the one that brought me onto the show because he knew how much of a mainstream Star Wars fan I was when I first started. So you always got these idiots who think they know more or think they have.
But it's part of it. Look, it's also part. It's you also realize it though when you're doing this though. After a while, it comes with the territory, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
It takes you a while to get used to it, but it comes with the territory. And the same way, like I said, it's like my favorite things now when things go to spam. It's that people write these like long diatribes, and I'm like, no one saw that. And I just deleted it. It's my favorite thing in the world.
I love as soon as I see like a 10 paragraph response and the first line is like negative, I love deleting it because I get the notices on my phone. I go immediately delete or block your channel. Yeah. I'm like, you're a waste of space. Why am I going to do that? It's true.
Either way, lots there to talk about. But if people are digging and like what's going on there, then that's the other thing. It's like, I don't think that they should be ridiculed for it.
Nope.
Anyway, let's get to this last topic, and then we'll get to the questions. But
sounds good.
Spider-Man 4. They're saying it's targeting a September start. Interestante, Mr. Brigante. Marvel Studios and Sony Pictures are reportedly targeting a late September filming start for the upcoming fourth Tom Holland-led Spider-Man film. Daniel Rickman says that things should, if they're proceeding as smoothly as they think, we could see a Spidey in cinemas by early as late 2025.
That's crazy.
That would mark a 4-year gap between Spider-Man No Way Home and the next title, the longest gap between Spider-Man films since the 5-year break between Maguire's Last and Garfield's First. The big catch is the film currently has no director. That won't be hard, though. They'll find one pretty quick on that. And Rickman reiterates that no filmmakers attached, so he adds that an offer is out to someone. The likes of Drew Goddard and Justin Lin are among the names rumored for the gig in times past. But both recently committed to new projects, including a Matrix reboot and the thriller Stake Horse, respectively. Sony has tried to launch their own Spider-Man spinoffs in recent years to mostly disastrous results with the likes of Morbius and Madame Web. This is crazy.
Yeah.
When the report of a month or 2 months ago was that they can't get on the same page because Sony wants to do a Spider-Man movie with the multiverse and all over the big grand scale, and Feige wants to do more street level stuff, which is the way to go, by the way. Where did they settle? Did they settle? Who's the director? And they want to get this thing out by 2025. This sounds like a Sony stink all over.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Like, I don't understand the rush on this. And I don't understand trying to get the shoot going already by the end of the year and then trying to get out by 2025. 2025 is already stacked. It is so stacked. And you're going to add another thing here in Russia. Like, are you telling the street level or are you telling a bigger story? There's rumors that they want to bring back, all the last two, Toby and Andrew, to be a part of it. And it's like, well, great. Then you'll ruin the mystique of No Way Home. All right, fine. But so there's so much of the it just shocks me, right? That they're already considering this. We still got to get a script. We still got to get one that works for what's going on. Marvel is in such a state of flux. How can you possibly write a script without knowing what Marvel is really going to do next over the next phases as they're readjusting everything under the new Iger regime? So there's so much that still needs to get hammered out before you can figure out a Spider-Man film. So and Justin Lin,
dude, 2025. So this is what's kind of like. So January 2025. Not January 2025, but 2025 so far. You've got, I think there's like 4 Marvel movies already coming out. If I'm not mistaken, I think so. You've got in May Thunderbolts, which you're not convinced it's going to come out in general.
Not with that asterisk. Come on, Christian. That says we don't even know the film's happening. Yeah, go ahead.
June 27th right now.
Yeah.
Untitled Sony/Marvel live action film is slated for June 2025. That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, that's a year. That's about almost, well, it's about two. No, it's a year away. That's a year away.
Yeah.
That's a year to get. They would, if they start shooting in September to have it out in June, no way. No way.
Alone, brother.
No way. Fantastic Four then comes out in July.
Yeah.
And then let's see, entitled Disney film in August. And let's see if they have anything kind of settled or held any spots. Yeah. There's nothing held. That's the only spot that's held in June. So June? No way. No chance. shoot in September, out in June? No way. So I don't know. I mean, Danny Rickman's usually on point, yeah. Right?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. A lot of the time he is. Sometimes he's off, and he certainly admitted that. Certainly with the Dr. Doom situation, he was a bit off on that. So yeah, I mean, most of the time he's on, but sometimes he does miss. So
right.
And the thing is, you can't really tie down these scoopers to certain things because everything is so in flux.
Yeah.
Yes, in that moment, it may be accurate. He's heard from studio people that he knows and connections that this is what's happening. But then 2 weeks later, like you said, Christian, we had just a few weeks ago, they couldn't even get on the same page. And that was being reported by all the scoopers. And all of a sudden, we're good to go. We're going to start shooting in the fall. But who knows? 2 weeks from now, it could be like, looks like they're pushing it to 2026. So you just never know.
You never know.
Stuff, no.
All right, we're going to move on to your questions now. And before we do, I am excited to tell you guys about Rocket Money and Fume. Here you go.
Hey, Rocket Money. How much do you guys think that you're paying a month on subscriptions? Yeah, that's what I thought. Most people think they're $80, $82. Yeah, right. You're paying closer to around $200. And that is why I use Rocket Money. What is Rocket Money, Christian? Thank you for asking. I'm going to tell you, me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps you lower your bills. And it's all in one place. It has over 5 million users and counting. Rocket Money has helped save its customers an average of $720 a year and $1 billion in total savings so far. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way. Go to rocketmoney.com/thing. That's rocketmoney.com/thing. rocketmoney.com/.
Let's talk about some habits, because you guys know you got some habits, and there's nothing better than beating a bad habit with a good habit. And we've talked about Fume before. You guys know we've talked about Fume. We've had Fume on, and we're glad that they are back. It's great. And Mark Riley is the one who's really been talking this thing up, and I can't wait for him to talk about it even more so on the show when he's on for UAP. And he's just talking about how flavorful it was, better than he thought. It feels very fresh, and it's like a refreshing herbal tea, but if it was vapor. You can look at like sticky soda. It's really good. It's well weighted. It's perfectly balanced. It's extremely fun to fidget with, and it really, look at the wood itself. It's great. You can start the year off right with a good habit by going to tryfume.com/bigthing and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners to the show 10% off when they use that code BIGTHING to help make starting the good habit much easier, because it's, you get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit that you're free to enjoy, and it makes replacing your bad habit easy. It comes with adjustable airflow dial, and it's designed with movable parts. It's great. They use flavored air instead of vapor. The Fume is completely, completely natural, by the way, instead of electronics. And there's no, this is the reason why I decided, people are like, well, why would you get involved with something like this? Why? Because they don't use harmful chemicals. They use delicious flavors. And that's why I got involved. Fume works. They're great. So thank you again to Fume for sponsoring the show. All right. Thank you to Rocket Money and to Fume. As I say every time, make sure you go to the description. You can help the show out that way. You can also go to the pinned comment in the comment section. John, I did it again. I did it again. Rocket Money. I'm going to tell you about Rocket Money. Rocketmoney.com/bigthing. Not thing. I did it again. Rocketmoney.com/bigthing. So that's the one. That service helps me out so much. And I just had one of those things too, by the way, where I had like, I forgot that I signed up to this stupid thing that I was trying. I was like, oh, let me try this. I'm like, oh, and I'll cancel it. And Rocket Money said, hey, dum-dum, don't forget to cancel it. And I canceled it. So Rocket Money's the best. Rocketmoney.com/bigthing. So just remember that. Okay, we got questions. We got answers.
All right.
Hershey Tube. Have either of you watched Fallout? It's great. So yeah, I mean, I obviously we talked about it a little bit. So it is, it's so far pretty good. You like the four episodes you've watched thus far?
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things from my people who've watched it all. Yeah. So yeah. I'm loving the first four episodes. I'm loving the characters and the storylines and the worlds they're building out and the humor. It's a lot of good humor mixed with some real emotional stakes. So yeah, absolutely. It's
pretty graphic too.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Armada, did you all see the Ryan Gosling Beavis and Butthead skit on SNL? I thought it was funny. It was hilarious.
Dude,
it was hilarious. It was one of the funniest things they've done in a very long time.
Yeah, that's what I tweeted out. I said it's the best thing I've seen in decades from SNL. Yeah. It was a sketch because of everything involved in it, the makeup, and then Heidi. Heidi never breaks. And she's lost it, dude.
Someone was like, oh, don't they practice this? I was like, I do not think that they practice. I don't think she saw those costumes. There's no chance she saw that costume. Like when Mikey Day pops up his butthead, his teeth, hilarious. Hilarious. When she's calling like, and she's like, sir, get out of here. And he looks at the other guy and he goes, yeah. Talking to you, man. It was hilarious. It was really. And Keenan, who kind of does the same thing in every sketch.
Like, yeah, basically.
He's so lovable though, but it worked. It worked in this one a lot.
The cartoon. You don't know it. You set them together. Come on, man.
It was really good, and that's the type of stuff that I'm glad that they take swings with and do those types of things, because they would just do, you know, the based off reality politics things all the time, and it's like you got to switch it up. And
I don't think they're as good when they're doing the politics. I don't think they have the comedians to really carry that off. I really don't. But this whole show was the best episode of the season so far.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched that. I saw that. I did see the thing. It's so funny because Caitlin? What's her name? The basketball player.
Oh yeah, Caitlin Clark. Yeah, I thought it was great. Yeah.
She was good. And it's funny because she's done it right because she's brought a big spotlight to women's basketball, right? Yep. I think it was through your tweeting that I had first kind of learned about her and then started seeing her everywhere. And the people obviously taking shots at her because she's doing the same stuff that Michael Jordan was doing as far as on the court, not playing wise, but on the court, like the type of same kind of antics and what Kobe would do and what other great athletes would do. And she was getting shit for it. It's like, why?
Yeah.
So I liked the Michael Che kind of back and forth with that. That was good.
Yeah.
Okay. Jared Guffey, happy tax day. Nothing happy about it. Hey, regarding Civil War, I saw the director is attached to a new film called Warfare. Is this a spinoff or a new story? Thanks. I don't know, but I know that he announced that he is going to retire from directing. So is he producing or writing for it?
Yeah.
He said he's going to keep writing. He did say he's going to keep writing. So I don't know. But I will say this about Civil War, and I said this in my review and my out of the theater reaction. That absolutely could have been a television series.
Oh yeah, 100%. You could absolutely, if he wanted to take that the bare bones that are in that movie and turn it into a series like on Paramount Plus or Netflix or Prime. I mean, that would be genius, and it would be a way for him to take a break from movies and really focus on fleshing out this world a bit more episode to episode. Yep. I would love that, dude. Yep. Yeah.
Melissa Byrne, Christian, what's my love story? What's your love story? What's my love story? My wife still keeping me around, I guess.
My wife.
It's like, can I still come in? Yeah, that's my love story. I love that. That's what I say. I love that I'm allowed to come in. I love that I'm allowed to eat dinner in the house and that I can sleep in the bed. That's my love story. I love that.
Occasionally make babies.
Yeah. Oh, I'm done. Retired. Mad Sinister McCall. So is my wife. She's no way. How many times a month do you go to theaters? Well, I mean, I think it just depends on, well, I'm thinking about it when it comes to like May will probably be at least 8 to 12. It's 8 to 10, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 12, but, this month has been like, this week will be like, I was supposed to do Monday, Wednesday and Thursday this week.
Ooh.
Because I was supposed to do Monday night. I was going to do tonight. I'm doing the what's it called? The Ungentlemanly
Warfare. Ungentlemanly Warfare. Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing that one. And then Abigail on Wednesday. And then Thursday was supposed to be Challengers, but something with my kids' school came up. So I can't do Challengers again. So that was supposed to be three. But yeah. So that's probably what are you saying?
I'm mad I didn't get a Rebel Moon part two screening because I did part one and they didn't do a Rebel Moon here. But Wendy went to the premiere last weekend.
Oh,
fucker. When the fuck was that?
Well, did you, you know, someone complained about you cursing.
Oh, I apologize, guys.
It's just kids that watch.
Oh, there are?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Well, fuck you, man.
Real nice. Talking about somebody who doesn't have a kid.
They're mature, man. They're getting mature. I mean, you know what I said.
K-Dog Westmore. Looks like WB will be the number one studio for 2024. I don't know about yet. No, I don't know yet. Dune and Godzilla went crazy. Joker and War of Warhammer to be hits. I mean, they got a good shot. I'm not going to write you off because they got a good shot. Let's go back to that schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, because right now they're the ones that they're winning right now. There's no doubt about it. So any like the big hitters that could come out, they're re-releasing Alien, but no, the Fall Guy is Universal. Universal doesn't have nothing too big. Kingdom Planet of the Apes is Disney, 20th Century Fox. So that's Disney could have a shot there. If is Paramount, okay. Furiosa is Warner Brothers also, so that adds to their power. Garfield is Sony. No, let's see. Oh, did you watch UFC 300, by the way?
No, is it?
I watched it. It was, dude, there's a fight, the BMF championship, which I never knew was a thing.
Oh, the bad mother, yeah.
Watch that. Have you seen that fight?
No, I haven't, but I know fights for that belt before. Yes,
it is the craziest. Now, remember, I'm gonna be doing a show with Matt Serra when I go back to New York.
Yeah.
So I was texting him over the weekend, and he's like, "Big fights," and I was like, "That's right, UFC 300." So I'm gonna watch. So I bought the pay per view and watched it.
Yeah,
the BMF championship, and I remember I used to watch. You know how I used to watch UFC religiously.
Yeah,
I have not seen an ending to a fight like this, maybe ever.
Okay,
maybe ever. It is in the top three, if not the best.
Okay,
finishes to a fight. Ever,
you find it,
and don't find it on. You watch it quick before you get spoiled, because I've already seen it on Instagram. Far as like the ending of it, it's the craziest ending I've ever seen. And Rogan loses his freaking mind, and as well as he should have. So all right, Inside Out is Disney.
Yeah.
So they've got Disney so far as the contender to fight with them. Let's see what else. Quiet Place is Paramount, but still not enough to build. Universal's got Despicable Me 4. That gives a little bit of a chance. Untitled New Line Horror from Warner Brothers. Universal is Twisters. Deadpool and Wolverine by Disney. So, and then Trap is Warner Brothers. I don't know what Trap is. I'm not sure what that is. You know what that is?
It's the M. Night Shyamalan film.
Oh, okay.
Josh Hartnett.
That's right. Okay. Alien Romulus is Fox or Warner Brothers, rather.
No, Alien Romulus is Disney.
And then Beetlejuice is Warner Brothers. So the fight is between Warner Brothers and Disney.
Totally.
That's the fight. And then you've got Superman, the Christopher Reeve story, which is Warner Brothers, Joker, which is Warner Brothers. The Moana 2, Disney.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a fight between, and then War of Rohan, and then Mufasa for Lion King. So it's a fight between Disney and Warner Brothers. You're not wrong though. Warner Brothers could win it again. Yeah. I mean, not win it again, but could win it this year. Yeah, it's true. Okay, Kenneth Colton.
Hey,
6 weeks in theaters and $684 million worldwide. Dune 2 comes out digital this week. Not a big physical media, but I had to get both 4K steelbooks from Amazon. Happy Monday. Yeah, that one I made sure, because they send out the press release for that one. I reached out. I was like, I need that one. Please, please. Mike Joyce. I was sent down by Washington, D.C. to see what kind of American can be profitable for Frito-Lay. Why is film Twitter obsessed with Jesse Plemons? I don't know if I... Well, Jesse Plemons was great. He was great.
But they're implying that he's like... He's over... They always come after Jesse for his weight, and it's so frustrating because he's such a fucking great actor, and they're implying that he's like, you know, he looked like a kind of guy who would be overweight playing this kind of character. Oh. It's so ridiculous.
He's terrifying.
Yeah.
He was terrifying in Breaking Bad, and he was terrifying in this. And he's such an amazing actor that he can turn it on its head and then make himself lovable and likable. Like in that movie, even though he was a bit of a weirdo in the movie, the Game Night.
Game Night. Oh my God. It was hilarious.
Game Night. He was great and he was definitely, the good guy in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Ah, yeah, fair point.
So he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, I like him too. Sorry. People are saying the Frito-Lay thing is a joke from Game Night. So apparently we haven't watched Game Night enough, Christian, to get it.
Okay.
My bad, y'all. I thought it was
something else.
You comment on his weight all the time. I thought
it was No, so I guess not. Justin Fountain. Personally, I really enjoyed the Fallout show. It encapsulates the spirit and overall essence the game series with its characters and overall world building. I'm super excited about it, man. I want to see the rest of it. I'm gonna watch it. What I am gonna do though is like finish up Three Body Problem, then I'm gonna finish Fallout, and then I'll have to do the when I find the damn time. I do want to do Shogun during like when I have like a break in time, because this Mondays and Wednesdays are my busiest days. Like Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays, I have more time to potentially watch the show and then put it up. So we'll see.
I'm trying to do weekends, so I have like Mondays and Wednesdays off. I'm trying to do weekends.
The only problem with weekends is that are people watching on the weekends?
I mean, our Geek Buddies show is almost at 8,000 or 7,000 views, and we just dropped it at 9 a.m. yesterday. And that's a pretty quick amount of views to get. So I find good reactions on Sundays for my stuff. Jedi Way's done well on Sundays as well. So
yeah,
I get lucky.
All right, this is Felix. The sound in Civil War was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like the sound was amazing. I agree with you, by the way. They were, for the most part, I loved the music, but there were a couple of times when I'm like, the bad song choice, and it just sucked me right out of the movie.
I will say this: I read an article in Slash Film where the person was complaining about how loud the film was.
Oh, it's the effing
point. Yeah. It's supposed to unsettle you, make you messed up, rattle you inside. When did film goers become so goddamn sensitive? I don't understand. Certain films
became so sensitive.
Mess you up. Yeah, fair point. The films are supposed to mess you up. Certain films about certain topics. This film being loud, and Alex came out and said he did this on purpose because he didn't like the way that gun violence is actually depicted in films. He wanted to show what it would really sound like and how loud a weapon actually is in real life when you hear it. So
that's jarring.
Augmented.
It's jarring. Let's say, the whole world is too sensitive. I saw somebody, it was announced Generation Z. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Gen Z. Yeah.
We recently watched Sex in the City, and there's a lot of problems with that show. It's like, shut up. It's like, what are you going to watch All in the Family next?
Yeah, you're right. And not get the point of All in the Family.
Shut up. It's like, and then there's also the other thing with like freaking, like Three's Company. Like, there's no world. Like, by the way, if you went back and watched Married with Children right now, that person's head would spin off their body and land on the moon.
Yeah.
Like, it is one of the best shows ever, but it is about as politically incorrect as you're going to get. So there was the idea that, you know what, we can take a joke and we can laugh at everything.
Yeah.
No, there's no world where you watch one episode of Married with Children. The fact that show was loud in the air back then was interesting. That show is absolutely, it's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah. I know. I agree. I love that show too.
Shay Markell, looks like Christian's been brown nosing. Sorry, but I had to. Happy birthday to your family. I love this show, man. You guys are great. Thanks, Shay. That's very kind of you. Appreciate it. Yes. I mean, look, this is the thing. When you have kids, and especially when it's moving, they're both arguing on who, because they both wanted me to take them to school this morning. Like, the oldest wanted me to drive, because the oldest wanted me to take her, because I take her to Starbucks to get her the breakfast sandwich. And then the little one's like, come on, I want to pretend that we're in the lava and I'm going through the forest. And I'm like, all right, let's just get the hell out of the house. How about that? Yeah. Sam-O is probably before we talked about it, but have you guys watched the Fallout show? Yes. And we will continue to watch it for sure.
Yep.
Okay. Someone said Ghostbusters is shitting the bed. Is it?
Yeah, it's only made 160 million worldwide, and it's completely like nose diving. And it was made for 100 million, so that's kind of a failure.
It's not great. Yeah, that's too bad. I like that movie.
Yeah,
I know. Mike Choice, you're gonna see a Sasquatch Sunset. I heard good things about that movie, surprisingly enough, but no, I'm not gonna see it.
Is that the Jesse Eisenberg one? No,
I don't know. It's about the Sasquatch family. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Matt Sinister McCall sent this super in the bathroom while at work and didn't tell my boss. Hope you were ripping one out. Any tips for writers on a routine? I've written a book and would like to try a screenplay. So, I mean, look, it's like, for me, it's just practice, 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 like anything else too, right? I remember when, and I guess it's easier nowadays than it was back in the day with the programs that they have and the things you can set up. And, but I would just say, if you're going to convert your book, or just block out whatever you're going to block out, and just take a shot at writing a script, and make sure, like, you do have to follow the idea of minute per page. And you know, you get to 120 pages, that's a 2-hour movie. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So, okay. Armada, what's going to make more money? Furiosa or Apes? Apes. No doubt. You want to go another one? Because you're already going to owe me money. Or not money, but...
No way that thing is crossing a billion. I'll say Furiosa. Yeah, I'll say, just to be counter, I'll say Furiosa. I actually think it's going to be a better film than Apes, and I think people are going to be...
That's a different conversation. That's a different conversation.
It's going to affect the box office. So.
Are we doing... You want to go Double or Nothing?
All right, Double or Nothing.
So two steak dinners?
Two steak dinners.
You're only saying that. Well, look. No, wait.
One steak dinner, because that's a bigger... That's Deadpool right. thing's a bigger thing. So I'll get you a chicken dinner for...
How about a lunch? A
fish dinner.
No, you know what we'll do? Trying to think, what can we do?
I'll do Olive Garden. How about that?
We'll do an Olive Garden. We'll do an Olive Garden bet. So the $1 billion for Deadpool, and that's a steak dinner. And this is why we do this on the air, because this weasel's trying to get out of his bet.
This guy.
Different times.
Every man knows Christian.
Please. And then, so this bet is that Apes on its run will do better than Furiosa.
We should clarify, domestically, globally, what are we saying? Overall,
we'll say globally.
Okay. Globally.
I just think that Furiosa is a little bit, and so is Mad Max. Because what did Mad Max do? Mad Max. Fury Road.
You made $2.5 billion. So
$2.5 billion? No, it did not. Fury Road. Let's see, what was it? Box Office Mojo.
Yeah, go to box.
Let's see what it did. It made, because I remember I won the bet from these other, from everybody at 379. It's not bad. It made 380. It made 153 domestically. Now Apes. Let's see what the last Apes did. Okay, War of the Planet of the Apes.
It was an underperformer. That's why they redid it.
Okay, so War of the Planet of the Apes, which is the last one.
You've
made almost $500 million. You're gonna lose.
It's close.
You're gonna lose.
You're right.
Okay.
Similar budget too. Surprising.
Galaghost, Civil War, and Fallout. Good week for post-apocalyptic fans, for real. My question for both of you: what is your favorite of Garland's work? My favorite is Sunshine. Cheers. I mean, it's Ex Machina. That movie's it's probably his. That's his Mona Lisa.
Yeah, that's a fucking great movie, man.
Great.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I saw people trying to go after him as a creator. I'm like, you are idiots, man.
I thought he was, and this is a good one. If you're going to step off the court, this is a good one to step off the court.
Agreed.
Jay West, would you, Aroka, interview Bo DeMeo about X-Men, or stay away from interviewing him because of the controversy? I mean, my question to his reps would be, am I allowed to bring up, you know, the controversy? If not, I don't think I want to, because I don't like doing that. I had an actor on once. Mm-hmm. I won't say who it was. It was on One-on-One with Christian Harloff. And the actor walked in, and I said to them, I don't know if I've told you the story. And I said, before we start going, is there anything that's off the table that I cannot bring up? And they looked at me and said, no, bring up whatever you want. Said, okay, great.
Yeah, you always got to ask.
So I'm in the middle of my interview, and I'm asking this person a question. I said, so let me ask you a question. Because we're having a great rapport. We're laughing the whole time. I said, what was this whole thing about? And the PR rep comes over and goes, no, stop. And I'm like, don't stop my fucking interview.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can tell me afterwards. We're not live.
Right.
You can tell me afterwards that we want to cut that out. We'd rather you not air that. And because we have a good relationship, of course, I'm going to cut it out. I never run. If someone says to me they want you to cut it out, I cut it out. Because I don't want to cause a bad relationship. But don't stop the interview and go, no, you got to stop. I'm like, who? You're not the producer of the show. You're a fucking publicist. Cut it out. Great publicist, but you could cut it out.
I had the same situation with Gavin Hood when I was doing Deep Cut over there at Collider. I locked doors now when we did stuff in the studio, because I didn't want a publicist coming. And that publicist, I had 20 minutes of Gavin Hood telling me what his actual experience was like directing the Wolverine film and what he went through.
You told me
that. And yeah, and they told me to cut. And afterwards, he was like screaming at me, and I was like, I'm going to cut it.
Who was screaming at you, Gavin? Who was screaming at you? The publicist was.
Yeah, the publicist from Paramount. And I was like, I'm going to keep it, but I'll cut it, but I'm going to keep it. You know, because you respect that, but yeah, trying to stop the interview, trying to knock on the door, I mean, stop it.
You just stop it. It's like you say, like, you know, we have a good relationship but I'm not going to not ask the question because that's the whole point. So to answer your question, yes, I would absolutely want to bring that up.
Yeah. So it says Van Damme about the milk and cookies.
Yeah, that was my favorite. Because you got to remember that Ellis and McCougar were such diehard Van Damme fans, as was I.
Yeah,
they were expecting like a whole trip down memory lane with his movies. And the second I started talking to this guy, I'm like, that ain't what we're getting, guys.
Nope.
we're getting Mars to Venus. We're getting everything but. And I was like, you watch me. I'm wide eyed the whole
time. Yeah. You're just fascinated.
I was fascinated. I was like, just take me on. And he said, do you want some milk? I said, yes. I said, do you want some cookies? I said, yes. I said, do you want your green card? I said, not my green card. I said, you have your green card. Oh, good. Mike Joyce, if you became an immortal ghoul like Walton in Fallout, how would you spend your time in the apocalypse? Probably trying to fix my face.
Hey.
That guy's face. I don't know. What about you?
Same. I'd have been him.
Yeah.
Look, he's a cowboy, ain't he? Yeah, I would do the exact same thing.
You would have done that. Yeah. Okay, we can keep going here. We got Alex.
Okay.
616. Hey, what's up, Christian and Roka? I hope you guys are doing good. Thank you. Question, what do you guys think of Jake Gyllenhaal saying he would love to play Batman in the DCU? Personally, I love it. How about you guys? I see Roka kind of tilting his head a little bit. I would prefer Jensen Ackles. I think he would be fantastic. I wouldn't be against it. I like Gyllenhaal a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have been against it in the previous regime, but I don't think Gunn is going to do it. He's going to go young. He wants, you know, the age appropriate Corin Sweat, who's ever around Corin Sweat's age. That's who's going to look at. So I in no way do I think they're going to go with an older guy like Gyllenhaal. It just doesn't make sense because they've got so much history of the Batman to tell that I don't think they would just bring in someone who's like, what, almost 50. So I just don't think it makes sense.
Right. All right, Galaghost, thank you, man. Absolutely agree. Weekly is better. Do you think the Bear season 3 will go weekly, even though season 1 and season 2 was under the binge? Probably not. They're probably going to stay consistent. I wish that they would. That's a show I definitely wish would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. That show. Because you're going to have that. You're going to have Acolyte. You're going to have House of the Dragon. That's all in June, right?
Yeah.
That's week to week. And so that's going to be interesting. Acolyte, I don't know if it's week to week or if it is, I believe it's week to week.
It's only 8 episodes. Yeah.
Okay. So that's week to week, but a half an hour episodes. Stupid. And then House of the Dragon, hour long episodes.
Only week to week.
Week to week. The Bear all dropped in one day. And then there's one other show that comes out in June, something big. I can't remember what it was. Okay. I wonder, speaking of this, like, what is the conversation? You know, what's the water cooler show? And I'm going to say it's going to be House of the Dragon.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Pete Parker, 2288. Really enjoyed Civil War. Do you think it has any chance of the Oscars? It makes me want to see Garland do more action because that last battle. Wow. No, I think it's too early. And I think that there's not enough. It was an in-depth movie, but not the kind of in-depth for Academy Awards as far as story stuff. Yeah.
It's not one of those punch you in the heart type movies.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
I know. I know.
But no.
If he had depicted the Civil War from both sides, I think you're talking, hey, having another conversation.
Right.
But because he kept it about these four journalists and photographers, I think it keeps it from becoming a Best Picture nominee.
Yeah, I said that at one point. I was like, oh, it's a journalist, I was a photographer, and then whatever, it's photojournal, whatever it was called. And someone goes, no, it's not that, either one, it's this. And I wrote, who cares? So when people try to correct you, that's right now. Who cares?
I know.
So you know, good for you.
Yeah, good for you. The Boys season 4, that's in June.
That's it. And that's week to week. Well, that's week to week. That's an Amazon that's week to week.
Yep, true. Very true.
Francisco Lopez, what TV genres should be suitable for binge watching? For me, it's sitcom, comedy, but show like drama, thriller, Sci-Fi Could Be Weekly show. I mean, if it's not, you know, if it's just kind of what's the word where it's not connected. It's just
It's not a yeah it's right. Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever it is, if it doesn't play into the next week, it's just you know, like Simpsons or whatever it might be. You want to binge them all in one shot, and like it doesn't one to the next, fine. But like when you're building up and you want to get people talking about your show,
yeah, well, it's not serialized, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't understand. That was hilarious. You said serialized. It heard you say it again.
Serialized.
No, it didn't work that time.
Emphasis the eye. Yeah, with Francisco again, this idea of what genres. No, again, you're generalizing. It has to be show by show. There are certain shows in every genre that should be weekly, and certain shows in every genre that should be binged. So it's different, you know.
Armada, do you think we'll ever get any more SNL movies? I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
Peacock should be doing original SNL movies because they're not going to play in the theater. Those movies, unless you make them for like $5 or $10 million and you want to take a shot with comedies, the day of the $50-60 million, $100 million comedies is about as big of a risk as you can take. So why Peacock isn't making original Saturday Night Live movies, I have no idea.
They did the Please Don't Destroy movie, but you know, it didn't do well and it didn't get a lot of attention. But there are, how many characters have you seen over the last few years that you'd want to see a movie from? That's the thing that I kind of hesitate about, you know?
Yeah. Carlton Rudder, good evening from the UK. What's up, man? I love Fallout. I'm on episode 5. John, did you manage to finish watching this weekend? Christian, how you manage to start it yet? I did start episode 1. Yeah. But John, did you finish? What episode you're finishing?
No, I had a busy weekend. There was a lot going on this weekend. Yeah. I went to see Civil War, did my review, had a lot of stuff going on. So I did not get a chance to see it. So you're car shopping right now. So.
That the BMF fight was insane. I'm telling you, dude. When you see this fight, it was insane. It was insane. I've never seen an ending to a fight like that ever. I've never seen anything like that. It was incredible. But someone's right. So they said that's why the fight was so good. By the ending, because the ending is incredible, but it's the fight itself is just awesome all from start to finish.
Okay,
the ending made it even better. Like even better. Like the fact it was like, it's like you're watching an incredible movie, like one of the best movies you've ever seen.
Right.
And then it just has an incredible ending also. It was one of the best fights I've ever seen.
Okay.
Mike Joyce, good idea to remake scary movies. Spoof movies are dead. Yeah. I think that's kind of, I think it missed it kind of, you know, that at this point, it's kind of missed its mark. Those types, again, it's the same thing. Comedies right now are not why people are going to movie theaters.
Japanese, they're making a comeback. We'll have to see. We'll have to see if they do. Well, because they're getting greenlit. There are more comedies being greenlit coming out of CinemaCon from these announcements. So we will see. But there's been a lot of successful horror over the last few years. So there's a lot of horror to make fun of. I think if it's going to work, you've got to find someone like Anna Faris. Yeah, are you going to find another Anna Faris that's going to be able to carry you movie to movie and make it interesting, or else it'll come off looking like something that should go straight to DVD?
It depends on what you're going to do also with when you talk about comedies. Like when you're talking about, like, you know, Anyone But You, which was a successful comedy because it cost $13 and a Snicker bar and then made a profit, you know, and that's how you have to make comedies. If you're making comedies that way, take a shot.
Yeah, why not?
Don't make $50-70 million comedies. They are not working and they're not going to turn you a profit right now.
That's fair.
George.
Hey. Sorry, George.
Did you guys see the latest article about Dan Lin and Netflix? I didn't. Is he going to further ruin Netflix or could he be its savior? I like Dan Lin. I knew Dan Lin in my time at Warner Brothers. I always liked Dan Lin. I had a friend who worked for Dan Lin for a long time. And then Dan Lin remember before James Gunn came in, that's who they said was going to run DC. Yeah.
Yes.
Dan Lin's a very smart guy. I didn't see the article itself, so I don't know what they're going to say. And I don't know what his approach is going to be, but Dan Lin's a good dude. So I root for Dan.
Yeah, it's in the New York Times this morning, basically saying that he's going to make a more varied slate of movies to appeal to the array of interests among subscribers. So,
why not? What's he going to do? Galagos, also good luck and congrats on the move. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
We're
excited. Let's see if there's any more that are coming in. I think that there are. Okay. Felix. Oh, yeah, same question. Do you think that Civil War can get any Oscar noms? Sound, maybe?
Yeah.
Sound, but that would be interesting if they're going to do it. I don't know. Did you wind up, you saw that picture of Saul in at WrestleMania, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, it was hilarious. He actually sent me the picture as well as a DM on Twitter and said, "You think I don't look Scottish?" And I didn't say he doesn't look Scottish. I said, he's never thought of him as Scottish.
No, when you hear his voice, he sounds like he should be in Goodfellas.
Yeah, he should be spitting me a pie in New York.
Pete Parker, 2288. Time window for the movie before summer.
The movie.
So what movie are you talking about? Probably in the area of that. We're gonna go try to set up the studio first. And that's why we put that Amazon list out there too. We're putting all this stuff in there ourselves, but we're also doing like anything that we can get put into the studio first and then moving the family out probably in summer. Yeah. Which is gonna be, which is hilarious because people were like, well, is that gonna change the dynamic of the shows? I only do three shows that are in studio. Me and you are virtual. Yeah. The UIP show, for the most part, has been virtual. The other three have been in studio. I'm doing one studio show with Matt Serra, so that's in studio. So there's really only two, and then we'll be doing the shows. You know, I'm going to have the same crew on virtual. So it's, and because this is the only show I do on StreamYard, and I might even eliminate the StreamYard element of it all, and we'll probably just go back to OBS because. Even when I'm talking over, I can hear sometimes the sound on StreamYard is so bad. I hate StreamYard. I hate it. It's just so easy to do the super chat and everything over there too. And there's another way to do it through OBS and the quality will. John's got a really good camera. My camera's really good too. So like when it comes to like, it distorts the quality a little bit too. Yeah. OBS, I'm going to try to change it up for our show. But you won't even notice it. And the sound will, and especially if you're listening on podcast form, you won't even notice it.
Yeah.
Met Bull, there he is. Any thoughts on AEW airing CM Punk footage? I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to talk about that. Brad Gilmore wrote about it and how he thought it was such a bad move. And I wrote, it is the definition of a piker move. It was such a horrible move and shows you that this guy has no clue what he's doing. Because like at that point, you run the test. You run the test and you're like, okay, you know what? We're going to air this footage. And everyone, even your fans are going, don't do that. Yep. Yep. Don't do that. And you don't listen and you do it. You don't have any sound on the footage. So it looks like everything that Punk said on Ariel Helwani's show was factual. Went up. You don't know what he's saying. So you're going to take the benefit of the doubt is that he went up and he shoved them. And like, you know, there is this thing that people are like, well, you're shoving a coworker. They're wrestlers.
Oh, for fuck's sake. For
Vince McMahon got knocked out by Bret Hart.
Yeah. I mean,
what did you fear for his life?
Talk about people being too sensitive. I saw those comments as well. People are like, it's a coworker. You're supporting toxicity. First of all, grow the fuck up. Second of all, understand what you're talking about, which is this is pro wrestling, man. People have fought each other all the time in the back of pro wrestling. That is part of the situation. That happens all the time. Happens in sports as well. People fight on NFL fields. People punch each other in hockey. People punch each other in baseball. That's the game. No one gets arrested. No one gets put in fucking jail. That is the game, okay? And when you're watching that video, first of all, the video has no audio, which is a big, massive mistake as well. Second of all, it looks very clearly that everything Punk said pretty much aligns up to what you see in the video. I saw people like lay down when Punk told Ariel Helwani, in time to what you were seeing in the video, and you're like,
see, and then they started pulling footage, then they started pulling people who was clipping out, and they started like doing copyright strikes. So it's like, why are you putting it out in the first place?
And then the British, I think the British Broadcasting Network came after him because he was supposed to get permission from all these different markets in order to post the footage. So he even fucked up on that end. And the thing is, this guy is a multi-billionaire because of his dad's money and his own stuff. So making these mistakes, I guess, doesn't bother him, but it stains everybody. Like Mercedes is stained by this, who just got there. Edge is stained. Ospreay is stained. All these guys are stained. And the Young Bucks go fuck themselves. But everyone else.
Who was the guy that was giving the interview to Renee and started taking shots at
Will Ospreay? Will Ospreay, who's a British guy who only people know inside of wrestling.
What a dummy. Think about
the guy who runs the biggest fucking federation.
Think about your future job. Yeah. What happens when that thing is gone? Right. What a dummy. That was a dumb move. Renee was like,
Yeah.
All right. Al Rensha. Amazing that Godzilla and Kong is the least expensive movie in a monster verse, and it might be the best. Shows that you don't always need to spend $200 million. Yes. Yes, it costs like $120 or something, and that's and because they got Rebecca Black, right? Not Rebecca Black, she's the singer. Rebecca, Rebecca Black. Friday, it's Friday, Friday. Gonna get down on Friday. She would have been great in that movie.
I think so too.
Yeah, but Rebecca Hall is she great actress? Didn't probably cost a lot. Same thing. Dan Stevens, great actor, didn't cost too much, and they didn't need to spend that much. They just had the monkey and the gut and the lizard fight, do things, and that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Armada. Do you think it would be too expensive to adapt Invincible as a live action movie plus all the gore? I mean, no, you can do a movie like that. I mean, look at Chronicle, right? Chronicle made people fly and look realistic, and that movie cost nothing. You can do that on a smaller scale, and you can make it look real and do practical effects. That's the question is, does it take away their tone by taking away from the kind of comic coming right off the page type thing from them? I still have only seen a few episodes of Invincible, liked it a lot, but I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think they could adapt it?
Invincible to live action?
Yeah.
Yes, but again, it's all about casting. It's all about who's involved, and it's all about how much money they're going to have to create, because you're going into multiple worlds in Invincible, and you're going out into space multiple times. So that's going to be, you can do the grounded one, sure, but if you're going to tell the whole story, you're going to have to go to a lot of different places.
I got
to
watch that.
A lot of money. Yeah.
Carlton Rudder, great to hear that they have greenlit season 2 of Monarch. Yeah, I mean, that's another show I need to watch.
And spinoffs. They got spinoffs as well.
Yeah. Armada, pump for Tulsa King returning this fall. Is it actually returning?
Yes.
Wondering when the old man is coming back. I'm not sure.
Have you heard Kalinowski's imitation of Bridges on that show?
Great. Oh, that's great. Right. Yeah, he did it on the show. Okay. Yeah, but Tulsa King is going to be. So that's what you wrote me, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can support Stallone yet. I'm like, we don't know.
No. I texted her and said, what do you think about this? Is what I said.
But you did. You said, but you said if it was true, I don't know if you could support it. And that's the thing, is that like, I don't do that thing anymore. And not saying that you do, but I don't do that thing anymore where people will go, oh, you know what? Look at this. Look out. It's like, no, I don't know what else happened. I don't know if this person.
I didn't tweet it out. Wait for it to see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Because who knows if people are disgruntled? Who knows if somebody wanted money? Who knows if it's legit? We don't know yet. So I don't know what the reports are yet on the Tulsa King. But as far as the actual show itself, yes, I am excited to see season 2. I like season 1 a lot. So
Grillo is coming on in season 2. So Frank Grillo being a part of season 2 is going to be exciting. I'm looking forward.
Oh, is Frank Grillo on season 2?
Yeah, he announced it on his Instagram.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Carlton Rudder, could Jesse Plemons be the next Seymour Hoffman? Well, I know what you're saying. There's only one Seymour Phillips. Oh,
Good point.
But yes, he is that kind of quality actor, or that caliber of actor that is just every time he shows up, you know you're getting a good performance.
Yeah.
That's it. Michael Green. Adam Shetfer is reporting that slap fighting will be in the next Olympics.
Really?
Who would like to slap the hell out of John and Chris? John and Chris.
Who would like to slap down? What?
I don't know what that is. But slap, that can't be right.
Have you seen the slap league?
I've seen the slap league, but
what's his face from Dana White is
the. I know. I've seen it, but they can't.
I hope not.
That can't be part. That's
physical injury on purpose.
That to me, like that's the difference. That was always the argument with MMA when boxing. Yeah. With boxing is, and I was a big boxing fan for a very long time, but the reason why there's so much brain damage and so much cause to the head is because the majority. Yes, you can punch to the body, but the majority of it is two people standing toe to toe for 12 rounds, 10 rounds, going after the head. In MMA, you're going for tap outs, you're going for the threat, you're going for these different things that like it's there are knockouts and these other things too, but it's not the overall objective. So there was always a kind of, this is just someone standing there and letting you hit me in the face as hard as you can. There's no defense, nothing else too. I don't get this one. I don't get it. I'm not going to tell you that I haven't stopped and watched footage from it.
Of course.
But I don't know. That's
all supporting the Olympics though. That's shouldn't be in the Olympics.
Okay, let's see, we have a couple left, I think. Renee Reyes,
hey,
how How do you guys feel about the Jon Snow show being canceled? Personally, I'm mad. They need to bring justice to that character. We talked about it the other day on the show. It's a bummer, but what I will say is that I give them props if they look at it in the same way that they had that Naomi Watts show.
Yeah.
Yep. And they said, not working. Yep. Don't tarnish the brand if it ain't working. Don't just put something out there because I want to see it too. I like Jon Snow a lot. He's my favorite character. But yeah, if it ain't there, don't push it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why House of Dragon took forever to get up there. And they wanted to make sure it was a damn good one, or else they were going to ruin the brand even more. And they didn't want to do that. So I like that they've been very particular and picky about what they want to create there with the House of Dragon stuff.
That's it.
All right.
So, John, thanks for joining me here today, man. And we'll be back, obviously, next week. But what else? What do you got going on today? What's tomorrow?
I might go live later on today. I'm kind of in a mood. I'm kind of in a prickly mood. There's a lot of news going on. I might go live later on at 5 o'clock today for an episode of The Nation. Have some fun doing that. But we've got definitely Shogun review tomorrow with me and Steve for episode 9. Going to be a lot of fun. The X-Men newest episode is going to pop off. So the Geek Buddies is going to talk about that as well. Might have a Fallout review coming up in the next couple of days with the Geek Buddies, which will be a lot of fun. Geek Buddy stuff coming up later on this week as well. More reviews, reactions. As Kristen said, Ministry of Gentlemanly Warfare. I'm going to do my out-of-theater reaction tomorrow night. Abigail Wednesday night. So all that stuff happening. Head on over to my channel, youtube.com/JohnRocaSays. See all the stuff that's going down over there.
Yeah. Before you go, John, we got Haskell. Haskell got Solo broke Heyman's phone. Heyman was so freaked out by the son of Haku. That's right. Haku's son. Another reason why I love Haku. He stepped up on the bottom rope. The Bloodline Civil War is coming. Yes. So he's excited. He's excited about that. We talked about it for a little bit, Haskell. I know you came in a little late, but we're excited about that for sure. All right, everybody. So John, thank you, brother. We'll see you soon. Thank you guys for joining us here today on the show. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I'm going to put I always put the sponsors in the list there too. Thank you so much. We have Patreon. We do all that stuff. But we'll be back tomorrow. Riley's going to be back on the show for UAP Tuesday. If you didn't already know that we have a channel that we do the UAP News, it's Down Earth with Christian Harloff. You can join over there for that. So thanks again. We appreciate you guys. And we'll see you guys on the flip side. Thanks for joining us here today on the show. We'll see you soon. Bye.